longest running and most trusted afternoon sports show in the state of Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome to Sports Talk on this 1st of March as we flip the calendar to month number 3. We've got a lot in store today. We look forward to always being joined by our Monday guest. Dr. Jerry Punch will be on board with us a little bit later this hour. Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com to start hour number 3. And in the second half of that same hour, hour number 3, Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. We also look forward to bringing you reaction to what was a very interesting weekend. Tennessee basketball played Auburn, lost on Saturday, won on Sunday, and very impressive performance for the Lady Vols as they nailed down the number 3 seed in the SEC tournament. Best tournament spot for them in the Southeastern Conference tournament since 2015. So they were very impressive in their performance and said goodbye to a couple of key seniors, especially Renaya Davis, when you look at what she's meant to the program. Jimmy Himes, how are you?
John, I'm doing great. It was a very eventful weekend, wasn't it?
It sure was. So a lot to get to, but really look forward to unpacking everything that we can.
Well, we've got a lot to unpack. And I tell you, with the basketball, the men's team just continues to disappoint. I just don't get it. They're not playing well. And they gave up, 16 offensive rebounds to Auburn? Are you kidding me? Going into the game, I thought one of the keys was Tennessee rebounding. And they got beat on the boards by 7. But 16 offensive rebounds. Led to 19 second chance points for Auburn. So Bruce Pearl beats Tennessee for the 6th time in a row. He beats Rick Barnes for the 6th time in a row. And afterward, Barnes certainly wasn't happy. He mentioned that only 3 players brought any energy. And Tennessee continues to, they fell out of the top 25 poll for the first time this year. And they have dropped to a 5 seed by Joe Lunardi and a 7 seed by Jerry Palm. So this team's just not going in the right direction. After a 10-1 start, they're 6-6. It's just not what I expected out of this team.
No, I don't think anybody expected it out of this team, and yet they've earned every bit of it just for the fact that they haven't played well, they haven't played together, and they've been let down by some individuals within the program in terms of expectations for this season. Doesn't mean it's been a lack of effort, but, boy, it sure has been surprising. And the question is, I mean, right now you would have to think that this is what Tennessee has, and the thought that they are going to somehow live up to the preseason expectation that led them to being selected as the preseason or the team to beat in the Southeastern Conference, unless something drastic happens with the open date they have this midweek and against Florida, I think, Jimmy, it's just going to be a coin toss.
Yeah.
Tennessee has the capability of winning, but Tennessee has the capability of losing to anybody they take the floor against.
Yeah, and that's confounding. That's atypical of a Rick Barnes team, and it's certainly not what folks are looking for this year. I talked to an NBA scout that I know, a longtime NBA scout, and I was asking about Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, and he gave me his take on them. But I also said, what do you think about Tennessee? He said, well, no point guard and no post scoring. He said, if you don't have those two, he said that makes it very difficult, and I think that kind of sums it up. So that in Tennessee, they don't have a true point guard. They're trying some folks at point guard that I think their guards are two guards for the most part, and they just need somebody like Jordan Bone. They need somebody like C.J. Watson. I think would help this team an awful lot, but they don't have it, and so at times they go into these offensive funks, and at times they look like they're not as organized on offense as they need to be. Gosh, they gave up a dunk on an inbounds play. They let the shot clock expire on them a couple of times. They didn't look very good. Just didn't. And why in the world with, I don't get it. But you would think going into that game, they'd be ready to play and want to improve their seeding and for the NCAA tournament, get ready and try to polish up on some things. And they're not doing it. So there's no way this team should have lost 7 conference games. But here they are. At 9-7.
And we'll see what happens against Florida on Sunday. A chance for a measure of revenge. Normally, Tennessee has been outstanding in second meetings, especially with teams that they had lost to previously. But this year, it's kind of been a reverse script. Tennessee has won the first matchup only to lose and not look good so good doing in the return matchup.
Yeah, that's true. That has been the case. So maybe Florida blowing them out will get their attention, and maybe they'll come out and play pretty good on what will be senior day for Tennessee. But I guess we'll go ahead and jump to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you can trust. Lady Vols 88-54 senior day. Renia Davis, as you mentioned, 23 points, 11 rebounds. Cassie Kiskitawa had a career high 19 points and 8 rebounds. So a really productive senior day for those two. Tamari Key ends up with 10 points, 10 rebounds, 4 block shots. Ray Burrell had 14 points, and Tennessee shot extremely well. They shot 57% from the field, 3 of 10 on threes. Auburn was shooting 31.3%, was only 4 of 20 on threes. So Tennessee has secured the number 3 seed. They've got that double bye that you mentioned. They don't have to play until Friday night in the late game, which will be at about 8:30. But I think Kelly Harper's team has done a nice job, and we'll see if they can continue that in the SEC tournament. They have been projected by Charlie Cream as a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. He's got South Carolina and Texas A&M as number 1 seed on the women's bracket, Georgia 3, Tennessee and Arkansas 4, Kentucky a 5, Mississippi State a 7. And in the AP poll, the Lady Vols jump up to 14. I meant to research this. I think that's the highest they've been all year. They've got A&M as number 2, South Carolina 7. South Carolina losing to A&M head-to-head, and so A&M wins the SEC regular season. Arkansas is 13, Tennessee 14, Georgia 16, Kentucky 17. 6 of the top 17 in women's basketball come from the SEC. With the AP men's poll, Alabama's the highest ranked at 8. John, this is the first time in 45 years Alabama won the SEC in football and men's basketball in the same year. First time in 45 years they've done that.
Goodness.
Yes. Number 12, Arkansas, 13. I mentioned Kansas is 13. That was a team a lot of people were writing off, and now all of a sudden they've righted the ship. And then when you extrapolate that out, Florida would be 29th, Tennessee 30th, Missouri 33. So that's what it would look like in the AP poll. Saw some quotes from Ty Simpson, the five-star quarterback from Martin, Tennessee, who committed to Alabama. He said that he leaned toward Tennessee for a long time. And he said he wanted to have a chance to put his in-state school back on the map, but then things changed. And we know what those things are, the firing of the head coach, the hiring of a new staff, the NCAA situation. All that added up, he decided to pick Alabama. He picked Alabama over Clemson. He also had Texas A&M in the picture because Jimbo Fisher's son plays for Ty Simpson's dad at UT Martin. But anyway, Ty Simpson has committed elsewhere. So looking at the quarterback situation, it wasn't a good weekend for Tennessee in that regard. Sam Horn, the quarterback out of Sewanee, Georgia, he commits to Missouri. So that's that leaves Tennessee with Tevin Carter out of Memphis and Caden Martin. Now here's the situation with Caden Martin. T. Martin's son is going to announce his decision Wednesday at 3:15. He is considering Tennessee for baseball only. He has talked to Tony Vitello. They're supposed to have another conversation either tonight or tomorrow, but he really likes Coach Vitello. He is also considering Arizona State, Miami, and Oregon, but he's looking at those schools for football and baseball. I don't know which direction he's going to go, but Tennessee's in the hunt for him in baseball only. So that's the latest on him. And Tennessee's also offered a 6'5" quarterback, Taven Jackson, out of Cedar Grove, Indiana. He led his team to an undefeated 6A state championship. He's 6'5". He also excels in basketball, and he's had basketball offers. So that's kind of the latest on Tennessee in its quarterback recruiting. I mentioned Joe Lunardi on his bracketology. He has got Tennessee as a 5 seed playing Western Kentucky, which is coached by Rick Stansberry. And they would be in the bracket with Michigan as the 1 seed, Villanova the 2 seed. Jerry Palm with Tennessee is the 7th seed in the bracket, with Gonzaga the 1 seed, Illinois the 2 seed as of now. The other SEC matchup, the matchups he's got, he has Alabama as a 2 seed taking on James Madison. Let's see, Arkansas 5 seed versus Wichita State, Florida 7 seed versus Louisville, Missouri a 7 seed versus Boise State, LSU a 9 seed versus UCLA. That's according to Joe Lunardi at this point. I'm going to bounce around on a few other notes out here. Eric Gilbert, the tight end from LSU, the 5-star who entered the transfer portal, he committed to Florida, wasn't able to enroll at Florida because he didn't pick Florida in time. He was too late to enroll. He's now decommitted to Florida, and he is open to go anywhere. A couple of Tennessee players recruiting him. Quarterback Harrison Bailey, who was Gilbert's quarterback in high school, as well as Tennessee running back Dee Beckwith trying to get in and lure Eric Gilbert to Tennessee. J.J. Watt has signed with the Cardinals, a 2-year deal, $31 million, $23 million of it guaranteed. Reunites with his former teammate with Houston, DeAndre Hopkins. So big news for J.J. Watt there. Also, I'm going to try to touch on these Tennessee notes as quick as possible. There are a bunch of them. Tennessee swimming, placed third in the SEC championships. That's their second top three in 3 years. A really solid performance. They won two events, the 200 breast and then platform diving. And also with, Tennessee baseball, they split with Indiana State. They lost a doubleheader Saturday, but they won Friday and Sunday. Tennessee softball, Sam Bender pitches a no-hitter to beat Northern Kentucky. And then Anthony Rogers strikes out 18 in another game. So two great pitching performances by Tennessee there. As far as Tennessee soccer, they beat Xavier. Jada Thomas, her third straight multi-goal day. She now has 7 goals in the last 3 matches. She was named the SEC Freshman of the Week for the 3rd time. I had another Tennessee sport here I was looking for. In golf, the men finished 7th at the LSU Invitational. The highest finish was 13th by Hunter Walcott. Reese Nevin ended up 15th in that. So that's a look at where Tennessee did in regard to golf. So a busy weekend for Tennessee sports. Another golf note worth mentioning. So Colin Morikawa wins the concession. That was played in the United States. They were supposed to play that in Mexico City, but they had to move it because Mexico City, because of the virus. So Morikawa wins a tournament, and they paid tribute to Tiger Woods. What a lot of them did on Sunday, they wore the red shirt with black pants as a gesture to Tiger Woods, who said he's very touched by that gesture, as he watched on TV to see the folks paying homage to him. And this tournament's in Bradenton, Florida, by the way. And these players understand what Tiger Woods has meant to the tour, to the popularity of golf, and so they were just a tip of the cap to him for what he was able to do in terms of the interest in the tour and them showing their appreciation for him. So I thought that was neat to see a lot of those players doing that. Just a couple other things, I did see what a couple of the golf notes. Annika Sorenstam returns to golf after 13 years. She made the cut in the tournament that was played in her hometown, her home course in Orlando, but after making the cut, she ended up finishing last. But at least she was out there playing again. On the Champions Tour, Kevin Sutherland gets the win. Phil Mickelson trying to get a third win in a row on the Champions Tour. He finished 20th, and there were back-to-back hole-in-ones on back-to-back days by Tim Petrovich. Let me restate that. He made a hole-in-one on back-to-back days. That's only the second time that's happened ever on the Champions Tour. That's a rare feat. In the SEC Indoor Championships, overlooked that. The men had a really strong showing in particular. Kerry McLeod, he went 56-4 in the triple jump. That's the best college effort this year. It ranks in the top 3 in the world. His long jump was a little over 27 feet, and that's ranks 3rd in the world right now. He finished actually with a silver in the long jump. His combined total for the triple jump and the long jump is the 3rd best in NCAA history, which I thought was an interesting note. 56-4 plus 27 feet, 3/4 inch. So a big meet for him. The 4x400 relay for Tennessee set a world-leading record. Of course, it's early in the year. There hadn't been a lot of folks out there running, But that was a very strong performance by them. So that's a look at some of the highlights from the SEC Indoor Track and Field Championships for the men. And those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you can trust.
A little surprising, Jimmy, to hear the news about Gilbert that you were sharing. Just didn't get all of his I's dotted, T's crossed in time to enter and get in school in Florida. I know that's something that you've been just mentioning in connection with Tennessee and the transfer portal, just for the fact I'm surprised that more people aren't aware or perhaps take the time to research something like that, that they want to go play at a school. Well, you better know when you have to go ahead and make your announcement and your choice so that you can get there, because you got to be in school to be on whatever team you want to join.
Exactly. He said that now he's going to he said he won't announce his new school until after he's enrolled. You might have thought about that before.
Correct.
Look, this guy's a great talent. My goodness, if he winds up at Tennessee, you can bet Harrison Bailey, whatever quarterback is there, is going to love having that guy.
No doubt about it. So we'll see where he lands next, and he is a very talented individual. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We have a lot coming your way today. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900 puts you on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Today.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Jimmy, you mentioned it in news and notes. What do you think about J.J. Watt joining the Cardinals?
I was a little bit surprised. I was not hearing his name mentioned. He obviously has a lot of trust, I would think, in the coaching staff and in Kyler Murray, because you're not going to go someplace where you don't think you got a chance to win. It's also a pretty tough division, I think, in the NFL, but – and I think DeAndre Hopkins might have done a pretty good recruiting job on him, I guess. But, yeah, I was surprised. I did not hear Arizona's name mentioned as much with a number of other teams. In fact, I was watching ESPN, and they broke in to go with it, and all of the analysts were just shocked. They didn't think Arizona was in play.
Yeah. To know, one, where he might – no doubt about it. He was targeted by many who had great interest in adding him. And you think what he could have meant to a team that was trying to, you know, further their chances at making the playoffs. And yes, the Cardinals were right there in the thick of it for the better part of the season. But I also wouldn't have them higher than third in their division going into next year, and by default might have them fourth. So I'm like you, a little surprised, as it's reported, while terms not disclosed officially, Adam Schefter saying the deal's worth $31 million and includes $23 million guaranteed. So it's a good deal, and it's another good one for him. He's earned that in terms of what he's done throughout the course of his career. But the Cardinals are putting their chips in the middle of the table, and we'll see whether or not he helps them climb the ladder in the NFC West. But, Jimmy, I think the 49ers are going to be healthier, so watch for them to make a rebound. And then you've got the Rams doing what they've done. They've got a great defense already. They add Matthew Stafford. I think they would probably get my nod to be the favorite. And if somehow Seattle can find a way to give Russell Wilson a peaceful, easy feeling, then I think the Seahawks would also be ahead of Arizona. So for what, this is a gamble, just like it is for Arizona.
I think every team in that division has the potential to win eight, and a couple of teams in that division have a chance to get to 10.
Yes.
I think it's a really good division. I think it's good football, and it is going to be tough, I think, for Arizona to get over the hump. That's why Murray has to really come through and be consistently good. Watt can improve that defense if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. I still don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is a good NFL coach yet. I think he's a pretty good offensive mind. But there's more to being a head coach than just that.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting decision on his part. And I don't know all of what played into it. If Pittsburgh maybe didn't have the cap room for him, I don't know all the things that were going on. Maybe he likes warmer weather.
Could be. Knows? Yeah, any number of things. could be like we were, and you can be transfixed by seeing Christmas lights on a cactus.
Yeah, that's it.
No doubt about it, but he's made his choice, and I thought for sure that he was going to stay in the AFC, and it was going to be something to see if he joined his brothers in Pittsburgh or went to Buffalo, who I think is the team best suited to give Kansas City a run for its money.
Yeah. Hey, John, one other quick note to get your take on this. And I know we're up against it, but D1 baseball rankings, number one, Arkansas, number two, Vanderbilt, number three, Mississippi State, number four, Ole Miss, and dropping all the way down to six is Florida.
Yeah.
SEC, the top four teams, and the number six team.
And there are some projections right now that have the conference getting 12 into the NCAA tournament.
Goodness. Well, that's...
Well, the record's 10, so there would be just two teams that would be left out of the conference from making the NCAA tournament as projected. But I don't think there's any question. Ole Miss was number one in the nation last week. They had a competitive weekend, and then Arkansas jumps to the top spot. And you know those other teams that you named, they're going to be right there. So, yeah, this is a – it's a deep and talented league.
It sure is, isn't it? Yep.
Very much so. That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. When we return, we catch up with our friend Dr. Jerry Punch as he joins us on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Over 20 years of the top-rated afternoon sports show in Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson, and it's always a pleasure to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend, Dr. Jerry Punch. He joins us for the next hour of the program, his appearance brought to you by our good friends at New Balance Knoxville, right there in the Suburban Shopping Center, just west of Westtown Mall. Shop local, and they will take care of you like you wouldn't believe. Doc, it's quite the experience the moment you walk in the door for the first time, isn't it?
Yep, they take care of everything for you. You don't have to worry about a thing. You walk in and tell them what you're looking for, tell them what you want to do, give them an idea of what you exercise, just walking, jogging, just going shopping, or just going to go on a trail somewhere, or you want to actually get some serious exercise. But they'll tell you, they will pick out what's best for you, and they will give you the options of all different colors and shapes and sizes and styles, and then fit you perfectly. They it's wonderful service, customer service. The good thing is they'll keep your records on file, so next time you want something, you can call them. They do have curb service when you go by if you want to pick up something else or another pair of shoes. You can go by and pick that up as well. They'll take great care of you there, David and Sharon and all the staff.
That's right. Shop local. Shop at New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. As you mentioned, they offer curbside pickup as well as a delivery. It's among the many priorities of New Balance Knoxville to ensure the safety of their patrons. Doc, so much to unpack from this past weekend, but it didn't happen against Marquette, but Roy Williams got win number 900. What do you think in terms of the milestone for Roy with the Tar Heels?
Well, I'm excited for Roy. Congratulations to Roy Williams, one of the real nice guys in the sport. I got to know Roy back when he was coaching at Kansas, and he was so accommodating, so humble, so unassuming. You think that someone that was that successful would be a little more pretentious. He is not. Couldn't be more thrilled for Roy. The last few years have been a little bit of a struggle. I know he's had some health issues, and they've had him personally had some health issues, and then they've had some issues with the players. Thrilled that he could finally get that win, that landmark win, although the last couple of years for the Tar Heels, it has not been easy.
If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Doc, we get another somewhat surprise winner. William Byron wins at Homestead. It's the third week in a row.
Yeah, how about that? How about that for a way to start the year? Three surprise. I mean, everyone thinks you're going to start 2021. You're going to be hearing about the same three or four guys. You're going to be hearing, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch. No, none of those guys have won a race yet. How about that? And, William Byron did win last August at Daytona. That was his only win until this past Sunday, until yesterday. But, you know, 23-year-old kid gets it done, driving for Hendrick Motorsports. You know, it was a different race because they start in the daytime and then the race ends at night. The track changes drastically. So there were guys that were really good during the day. And then, you know, once the sun went down, the track cooled off. A lot of guys were having trouble getting grip, but not this kid. What a great 23 years of age. How about that for William Byron? And what they had done is they reunited him with Rudy Fugle, his crew chief, because Chad mm-hmm. Canals had been his crew chief, and Chad decided was promoted to run all of Hendrick Motorsports in terms of competition. So they went over to Kyle Busch Motorsports and hired Rudy Fugle, who had been his crew chief when William Byron was running the trucks a few years ago. And those two together won 7 races. So they put them back together, and here are only their 3rd start together in Cup. They win a race. How about that?
Well, and I don't think we touched on this last week, but the first 2 weeks were won by first-time winners for the first time since, like, 1950, which was a remarkable stat from NASCAR.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't ask for – I mean, you think sports are predictable? No, I mean, it's – holy cow. I mean, and you know, for these drivers, and they didn't back into it. It wasn't a huge wreck where – they were the only one to survive. They were there and they earned it. I mean, they certainly earned the victory, you know. And you know, Christopher Bell last week, you know, young man, you know, getting a chance to drive, you know, for Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, remember Joe Gibbs had to let another young driver go in order to bring Christopher Bell in. Everybody thought he was the future. He was going to be one of Toyota's future superstars, and they were right. The young man did a heck of a job, ran down the veteran Joey Logano at Daytona on the road course, passed him with 2 laps to go, and won the race. So, yeah, how about that for what's happened in the first 3 weeks of the season? 3 first-time winners, all 3 now are in the playoffs, which means now there's only 13 spots left in the playoffs. And so it's going to get a little crowded. These guys, these veterans trying to win races to be able to find a way into the playoffs at the end of the year.
Speaking of veterans, those at Joe Gibbs Racing, not especially enthused with the analysis of one Kyle Petty in terms of job security. What did you think of that flap over the weekend?
Well, if you want Kyle's opinion, all you got to do is ask him, because he's more than willing to give you what he thinks is going to happen. There's no political correctness there. I think Kyle was just being honest. He's, you know what? The man's grandson, Ty Gibbs, has already won a race, and in a few years, Grandpa is going to want to put him in one of his cars in the Cup Series if that's the way things develop. So, you know, look out. You better be winning over there or doing what you want to do to be a team player, because this kid's coming. I think some of the guys took exception to that, including Denny Hamlin. Now, Denny Hamlin's got his own team. He's got, you know, 2311 Motorsports, which is, you know, the Bubba's car, you know, with Michael Jordan. So, you know, Bubba Wallace. So I think that, but some of the guys were, you know, I think Denny in particular took exception to that, saying that no one should be looking over their shoulder. Joe Gibbs is not that kind of owner. We're all going to be here for a few more years.
Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, again, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local in the Suburban Shopping Center, just west of Westtown Mall on Kingston Pike. We'll get a break. A final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk coming up. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams of John Wilkerson. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Let's go to the phones where Lynn joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. This isn't my question and the reason I called, but, Doc, I might comment on Kyle Petty. You know, if you remember, I had that same question last week when I called. I probably phrased it a little differently, but I was talking about the young guns and the Gibbs deal, and that was my thought line, my thought process exactly, that if I were those old guys, I'd keep on winning.
Yep, yep. Well, you know, Kyle understands, you know, having driven for his dad and who drove for his dad, I think you understand how the family works in racing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I've got a hypothetical for you. If I had talked to you before the season and asked you to name one driver that would win one of the first three races, would you have got it right?
No, I would not have.
No, I wouldn't either. I would never in 100 years thought that those three would have won the first three races of the year.
You know,
also,
pretty excited.
Go ahead.
No, the analyst yesterday, after they got off the air, somebody told me that if you would have asked Jeff Gordon and Clint Bowyer to list the top 12 drivers they thought would win at Homestead, William Byron wouldn't have been on the list, either one of them, because they didn't think he had the experience to run that well on a track that tricky, but he proved them all wrong. So, yeah, what a surprise. Absolutely, what a surprise for all of us.
Yeah, sure did. Now then, that leads me to my next question. Do you think this could be the year that we don't see all winners make the playoffs?
You know what? It's very possible, because that could happen. You know, it absolutely could happen, because you've got three spots already gone, and you got all these guys that you think are going to start winning. You know, you got to believe Harvick and Truex and Kyle Busch and, you know, and Hamlin and all these guys are going to – Logano, they're all going to start winning. So that's another 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, so, my goodness, we haven't mentioned Chase Elliott, a defending champion yet. So, yeah, it could easily be – if those guys win, there's only a couple of spots left, and I still think that some of these young guys still have a chance to win. There's some more young people coming along. And Kyle Larson, by the way, you know, Kyle is so good on his mile-and-a-half racetracks, everyone thought if he's going to get a win, it might come early, even at Homestead, and he ran really well. So, and remember, they go to Vegas and they go to Atlanta, so we could easily see Kyle Larson get a win there. So suddenly, if that happens, boy, the panic begins to set in a little bit for some of these guys that are accustomed to just winning a race and getting in the playoffs, because now they got to worry about being high enough in the point standings.
I'm assuming that if there were 17 or more winners, that the 16 highest in points would go to the playoffs. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it would come down to point standings, so that's the tiebreaker. So not only if you've won a race, that's good, but you can't fall out of races. You can't pull the pin on the hand grenade and try to do a Hail Mary and suddenly finish 35th. You've got to make sure you get good finishes outside of that win to be able to stay up in the points.
Yeah, somebody must have told Michael McDowell that, because he sure is coming alive so far this year.
Yeah, how about that? Three top 10 finishes, three consecutive top. Of course, he won Daytona. You know, he had a top 10 finishing on the road course, and then this past weekend. So how cool is that for that team, for Front Row Motorsports? You know, and you know these guys are, you know, headquartered out of. I mean, the race shop's in Charlotte, but they're headquartered out of Danridge, Tennessee. You know, Bob Jenkins, Brad Jenkins, that whole organization. How good is that for Michael McDowell? I mean, that just goes to show you that this could be a really special year. We thought last year with the pandemic was going to see some unusual things happen that we never predicted. I think this year may even top that so far.
Yeah, it's looking like it. I sure hope so. Guys, it's good to talk to you. It always is. Have a good week.
You do the same, Lynn. We sure do appreciate you. We've got another half hour with Dr. Jerry Punch. Again, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. They have curbside pickup, also delivery available. But it's great to deal with them and see exactly what they've meant to the community for quite some time. We'll get a break. Hour number two of Sports Talk's right around the corner. Another half hour with Doc Punch coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.